You're listening to the Asian Action Cast, the best and worst of Hong Kong and Asian action cinema. The podcast contains coarse language and adult themes.
When you can take the pebble from my hand, it will be time for you to leave.
Ninja, the tea party's over.
Anyway, let's cut all this. Let's start.
It's the Asian Action Cast. How's it going?
We've got Nathan.
Hey.
Christian.
Hello.
Michael.
Hello.
And me, Scott. What do we do here, Christian?
I don't know. It's my first time.
We review the best and worst of Asian action cinema, primarily Hong Kong, but we go out and about sometimes. We go abroad, and today we went abroad.
Did we?
Yes.
What movie did you watch today?
Lone Wolf and Cub, Baby Cart in Peril. I think the fourth movie in the series.
Fourth of six?
Yes.
Is this a Japanese movie?
Yes, it is. From 1972, Toho Gig.
30th December, so right at the end of the year.
I think they made five in that year. Four or five of the films that we in the Lone Wolf and Cub series in the 1 year. They just cranked them out.
All right, so you got a bit of more knowledge on this series than most of us do, because you've got the Blu-ray collection. But yeah. I'm just going to spout a little bit of trivia here.
Take it, because I don't know anything. I did, and then I've subsequently forgotten it.
It's the alcohol. So the translation of this is Wolf with Child in Tow, The Heart of a Parent, The Heart of a Child. It was also released as a sequel to Shogun Assassin as Shogun Assassin 3, Slashing Blades of Carnage.
Really? They made an English dub release of this?
I'm not sure if it's an English dub, but it says that's...
Because Shogun Assassin is one and two, the Lone Wolf and Cub 1 and 2 put together, mostly number 2, but it's all chopped together instead of being one film. It's got this like someone in the background, like telling you, a narrator telling you what's going on, because it doesn't make sense otherwise. And it's got a really good, cool synth sound.
Oh,
synth.
That music in that movie was
fucking
awesome.
Good. But the music in this movie is also great.
So for us that haven't been or aren't too familiar with the other movies, Christian, Michael, myself, and even you, Nathan, would you say this is a series you can jump in at any points? Like, this gave us some flashbacks, but would you say you can jump in and watch any movie?
Those
like
are new flashbacks. They aren't in the other movies.
Oh, sure, but it flashes back to those
other
movies.
It gives you. Yeah, I think it is. All you need to know is dude wants vengeance, kid wants vengeance, vengeance.
Did you pick up on that, Christian? Are you sort of like, no, almost like Star Wars, where you start at episode 6?
Look, as long as you don't ask questions about the kid, you're fine. Like, you can pick up where the story's going with it. But at the end of the day, if you want to know about why he started on this journey, why he's got the kid, things like that, then you might want to watch it in order. But
Mike, what do you think?
No, I think you can pick it up as it goes, because it is fairly straightforward. Like, you just got to know the Yagyu clan's after him, and he's after the Yagyu clan. The end.
The end.
He takes up assassination missions to pay the bills as he's going along.
Pretty much.
So at no time you were, like, left wondering, or just
too much?
Look, I've seen the first one, so I know what's going on. But if this was the first one I'd seen, yeah, there'd be a lot of questions. Hmm. Why is the kid's hair like that? For starters. I mean,
traditional to the age that it's in.
God damn, I want those sideburns.
Let's mention the hair here. So he's got a top knot.
He's got a top knot, cut out sideburns.
Sideburns.
And a little nubbin at the back.
And a rat's tail. And the rest is all shaved.
And he's got a fringe.
And a fringe,
got bangs.
Yes.
I think it's something Gen, whatever, after comes after Z is probably rocking.
You're saying this would be Peter Proper in a Berlin nightclub?
That's right.
3 years ago?
That's right.
With all the synth music.
Listening to Herbie Hancock.
Hell yeah. All right. So if you haven't seen this movie before and you want to describe it to someone, pitch this movie to me, starting with you, Christian. Pitch this movie to me.
Acid Man. this would be guy comes into town with the greatest pram I've ever seen.
Shit's MacGyver.
Actually, no, this is he's actually the guest star in a revenge mission from a female who was
Is he the Hulk who's walked into someone else's story this week and he's going...
he's Bruce Banner who's walked into a... and just, yeah.
He's walked into a Wolverine story?
He's the guest star in a revenge story that ends up taking center stage after the main plot.
All right, you pitch it, Nathan.
Do you like titties? Do you like blood spray from aortas? Do I have a film for you?
That's it?
That's it. That's all you should fucking need.
Michael?
It's kind of samurai western meets, well, basically revenge.
Exploitation, man. Exploitation. It's fucking exploitation.
And revenge. It's your atypical revenge story. It has enough titties to keep you entertained and enough blood spray to make you want more.
To fill a pool.
This is samurai James Bond.
He does have...
It is almost that, yeah, exactly.
He does or have Samurai MacGyver, maybe?
Yeah, MacGyver's probably better. Yeah. James Bond's a bit suaver than he is.
Well, I was thinking more of the gadgets.
Yeah, maybe he has a Q. I wonder if the kids out there just tinkering with shit.
Samurai Inspector Gadget. All right, do you want to give us a bit of a plot summary? Michael, perhaps?
Sure. So, as we say, we're in the fourth movie, but... you don't really need that much. All you need to know is basically he was double-crossed. Or not double-crossed. He
set up to fail by the...
oh, my God.
He's been betrayed.
Trying to make it simple. But
beginning.
It is simple.
The hardest part is the setup. It's
the crux. The crux of the matter is he... went for a job with the Shogun.
He got the job.
He got the job at KFC. The other person got pissed off and their clan decided to wipe him out. And they killed his wife and the rest of his clan. But he was still alive with his son, which is the cub, obviously.
And he gave that kid a choice.
He decided that revenge was the dish that he was going to pursue. And hence why every single movie after that, he's after killing... the Yagyu clan, and on the side, he takes jobs to assassinate people for money.
I'm going to say, if you're talking about this movie and not the series, then...
that's the series.
Right, if you're going to talk about this movie in general, long story short, topless female assassin kills...
We start with her, and then doesn't go back to her for like 40 minutes.
Topless female assassin kills some people. The guy walks into town. He gets a job. He has to kill her.
Yes.
Right? Now, he's being chased by this, what is the Yagyu?
Yagyu clan.
The yogurt clan, and they're coming through. And
buy my merchandise.
As big as mine.
And it has a flashback to...
we didn't go for the easy Yoplait joke there. We just went straight for the swats.
It's French for yum.
I went for the spaceballs, yeah.
It turns out that this girl tried to be a sword mistress. Was beaten down by this guy who has a flaming sword and
we don't mean that he's gay. We don't mean that his dick is gay either. We mean that he has a literal flaming sword.
And he did unspeakable things to her, and her revenge was to get tattooed on her breasts.
That's not the revenge part.
The revenge
That's
is the murder.
Plan.
This is the whole plot. We're not just doing...
No. You said that for her revenge was to do that. It's like, no. She wants revenge on him... so she set the plan up.
And what did she do, Mike?
The plan
was to
tattoo herself to freak people out.
So they would
get distracted.
To take
away his advantage of distraction with the flaming sword.
Because, yeah, that's his magic power is not flaming sword. His magic power is hypnotism. Like, forget about the flaming sword. Yes, I have a flaming sword. It's very scary, but look in my eyes. Look in my eyes.
He even
look
tells
in my eyes.
You.
Magic.
You need that cool kaleidoscope kind of
yeah,
effect.
Magic eyes. And that's and he fucking beats her and rapes her. That's fucked up, man. You can't do that.
So, long story short, she pulls the wool over. He's got the flaming sword. They have a duel. She whips the top down and he's like, huh? She kills him.
That's right, because she's got her own special hypnotism, titties.
And then, because he's been contracted to kill her... they have a quick duel. He beats her, brings the...
we're just going like him and her and him and her and
I can't
her.
Remember.
Let's just go back here.
Let's step back a second.
Oyuki is the female assassin.
Yeah, Oyuki and Enki? Enki?
Enki.
Well, as there's only one female in this entire film.
That's not true. There's two.
There's two. There's a lady going, don't go up there. It's scary. So that's Michi Azuma, and I've looked her up. She's only been like 6 films as far as I'm aware, so I'm not sure if she just retired or
possibly.
Whatever.
Possibly. Maybe, it's Japan in 1972. She might have got married and wasn't allowed to work anymore.
Our Lone Wolf and Cub is Tomosaburo Wakayama. He's our titular hero.
Yeah, he's a classic actor. He's in a lot of samurai films.
Enki, the hypnotist rapist, is
looks also like a meth head.
Shin Kishida. I wonder if he's
a bass player in a prog fusion band. I pretty much think so.
No, I was thinking maybe he could be a kabuki guy or something.
Yeah,
like
maybe.
That. I can't see anything here.
He's got a creepy smile. I'll tell you that.
He looks cool. Some other people too.
He looks like a rapist.
What else we got here? Retsudo, who's the big bad.
Yep.
He's a guy called Tatsuo Endo.
He is a great actor.
He looks like he should be in Monkey Magic or something.
Yeah, I feel like he has a lot of gravitas when he speaks, though. Same as the guy who's leading the artist collective.
Is it funny, like, when you see these things, because Lone Wolf and Cub is obviously based off a manga and so forth. It's so funny, like, the tropes of the characters, and you can see them in ones that were made significantly decades after it, like, permeates through.
This is more than 50 years old. Exactly. This is 52 years old.
Yeah. And it so permeates through everything that's after.
Yeah.
Like, I think we have to give special props to Daigoro, the son, the titular cub, who is Akihiro Tomikawa. He does a good job.
He's all right, yeah.
What does he do after this?
I can't. There's nothing.
Slummed
I can
it
find.
On all the money.
got his with his on the backs of that haircut. he was still doing appearances at 42 with that haircut.
Haley
Joel Osment.
You got a big
kid.
Fucking head, Haley Joel.
The only knowledge I have of that kid is now he's 56 years old.
Shit. Yeah, he would be. He'd be very old. Wait a minute. What?
56.
So if the movie's 52 years old and he is how old? 56. He was 4 when this movie. He looks older than 4.
Mm. Wow. He does look about. I reckon, I'd give him about 6 or 7.
Because your boys look
big fucking kid.
My boys are bigger than this, yeah.
Okay.
So he's like a toddler because he's almost mute kind of thing. Like he only, dad and whatever.
That's actually very impressive. For the things they get him to do as a 4-year-old, that's amazing.
Mm. I mean, that could be a stage age. He could be faking it. He could be 102. Who knows?
He could be an old dwarf. No.
And he does the eye acting as well, like the...
Because they're all like, this kid's got creepy eyes.
Because the guy behind the camera with a strap.
Oh,
move your eyes, kid.
You don't want to know how many hours of shots that took to get.
We have to mention the other prospective assassin.
Oh, yeah.
Was that Gunbei? Yagyu Gunbei?
Yes.
Yeah, the one that gets his arm taken
off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yoichi Hayashi. He looks really cool.
Yeah,
he's
definitely giving us that old charisma, I'm an evil samurai vibe.
For a while, they were like, is that the same guy? Because they look very similar. They both got I don't mean to sound rude, but they're both kind of tubby. They got a bit of double chin going on, which I think kind of works.
Mm. I suppose Christian's kind of gone through the main plot.
Well, I tried to.
As he said, you and him and that and whatever. So the idea is that...
there's a whole bunch of little stories going on while he's trying to travel.
Yeah, there's a couple of flashbacks.
Around.
So what this movie does, which I find
four flashbacks.
It's in 85 minutes, 86 minutes or whatever... What the movie does is establish he's an assassin, he has a kid, they create some drama with that kid going away for a period.
Walking away.
And you realize that kid can help handle themselves. That's kind of what they set up with that. He meets his bad guy. There's a couple of flashbacks telling you who's the bad guys are, who the good guys are, what's going on with a bunch of people, not just with our main actor, but also with the woman he's trying to kill.
The job itself that he takes on to assassinate this lady killer is almost incidental to the rest of the story.
Yeah, but what I do like about it is very economic. Like, so in about 4 flashbacks, you get if you've never seen this movie before, like if you've never seen Lone Wolf and Cub before, you get Yagyu don't like him, the guy he meets doesn't like him, this woman doesn't like this dude, and everybody's out for revenge. Like, you get all of it in 4 flashbacks, I think. So you can watch this movie as a standalone movie and understand at least to a degree what's happening. You may not know the very intricate details, like which son of the Yagyu he killed, but he's killed a bunch of Yagyu and the Yagyu don't like him, and that guy died, like the guy he fights just when he finds his son and cuts his arm off. He doesn't like him specifically because he lost to him at one point. Well, one technically, but not really.
So they have a fight in the temple, right, to determine who's going to be the executioner. And he accidentally points the sword at the shogun and, oh my God, a great shame.
Yes. And you can't point the fucking sword at a shogun,
and
bro.
And the greatest makeup artist in the world makes a face and then goes, you got to die. And I was like,
okay.
Rough. That's some skill.
And then he's forever hunted by the Yogi Bear clan. So it's
Yogi Bear. All those picnic baskets that he's got.
Yeah, picnic basket. Leave me alone, Ranger.
That's what he hides in the cart.
That's who Boo Boo is.
Yeah.
Boo Boo's on. Actually, I think. When did Yogi? This would have been in the 60s, right? This doesn't predate Yogi Bear.
No, I don't know.
I don't think they were going for that, though.
No.
Hey, Boo Boo.
If he says exit stage right.
Yeah, I will say this. The Yagyu clan definitely predates Yogi Bear.
Yeah.
Because that's a real thing that existed in reality.
So our lone wolf is a hell of a fighter, just effortlessly murdering hundreds of people.
He is walking the demon path to hell, and so is his child. And they, I'm not, okay, for as pudgy as he is, I'm assuming his abilities are technically supernatural because he is walking the demon path to hell.
Do you think, well, at least twice in the movie, he says to his son, well, if I don't make it, you're going to die too.
Yeah, that's right. 100%.
I would like to think that he's done some kind of redemption path for the kid, trying to keep him, but
you're wrong.
No, so,
violence and death is all that awaits them on the demon path to hell.
But I think that's why he walks and tries to keep the kid out of everything. But at the same time, it's
though he involves him directly. Pull that lever. Yeah. Kill those people.
Throw me a sword.
It was even he does it off his own back one time. He goes, here, Dad.
Yeah, that's right.
This cart that it looks like a rickety old baby carriage. And this thing has metal, at the end of it, it has metal walls, it's got guns, it's got swords all over
it. You are getting two movies in, because we watched a little bit of the fight sequence at the end of the very last film before we did this podcast, after we watched the original movie. Doesn't get those plates until the last movie, let's be real. It's got machine guns in this movie. Does not have plates of steel. It is not a tank yet.
This film actually has guns in it, which I was really surprised at because I did not think they were around at that time.
What are you talking about, bro?
Guns.
Where do you think
gun pretty self-explanatory.
But guns, okay, so all right, guns are in a lot. So there's definitely a bunch of samurai movies where there's no guns, but guns are a samurai thing. Like all the way from before Shogun times, all the way through, there's guns, guns, guns.
But these looked like the same as you would be on 1970s sailing ships.
They're pretty big. They're not like old timey muskets. They're pretty advanced
guns. Arquebuses, mostly.
Well, let's be fair. At the time, they're probably a bit unrealistic given, the amount of shots.
He essentially has a fucking Gatling gun.
Yeah, yeah. That's not realistic. They were at that time single shot kind of.
What they had mostly during this time, actually during the period, there's a bit of a change. To take that away, what they mostly had is, at the end of the fight sequence when they had those big fucking guns with the big
basket.
They had those. Yeah. They had those all the way through.
I would have put a bit more believability in if it was like
believability.
Bags of powder thrown.
No, they had guns, man.
They literally had guns before that, before even shoguns were invented and stuff. That's what the war...
Before shoguns were invented.
Yeah, not invented, before they took over.
The shogun said nogun.
Yeah, so...
In Japanese history...
That's a quality joke.
Nobunaga, who is before any of the... Before the Tokugawa takeover,
He was one of the first...
He was one of the first to do lion combat with guns. So before the Tokugawa, before these people existed,
In the 1650s?
Before that, because the 1601 is when the Battle of Osaka happens, and that he's already well dead before then.
Yeah, it was 15 something. Yeah.
Yeah. So they learn how to do in medieval, in Renaissance times in England, right, or wherever they started using guns. They were using guns at this point. We don't think about it, but they were using fucking guns at this point.
To back up Christian's point, though, that don't come until much later.
What are you talking about?
It's like three quarters away from the movie first up.
That's right. They should actually be using them way more early.
And it's like, here's some guns.
I think in one of these movies, I don't know if it's number 3 or number 5 or whatever. One of them, there's a guy with a pistol.
Yeah.
He's got straight up a pistol.
That's fine, but they don't introduce him until late.
Nah.
They don't build it up.
It's
like, here they are.
Where they make it almost like secret ninja art weapon. Bang, gun. But in reality, yeah.
Most of the samurai are training with guns, not just swords.
All right, stay tuned for the Nathan's Japanese History Minute podcast coming soon.
Oh, God. I hate going on normal shit. Let's go back to the arterial spray, shall we? Yes. And tits.
The effects here are, I'm not going to say impressive.
I want to say it's very 70s.
Yes.
The fake limbs, the red paint blood. And the
very vibrant.
Obvious actors sticking their arms inside the bulky clothes to hide their limbs when they get cut off.
But we say these things are jokey and shit. There's not enough of this in movies. There's not. I love it. I love it when he's fighting those ninja statue monks. and he cuts off their fucking arms, and they are hiding it, and I know they're hiding it, but their arms are laying everywhere. Or when the guy who can change his face gets his head cut off, and the bad guys are essentially having a soliloquy
while blood
is fucking just like it's so good. There's not enough of this shit in movies. Hong Kong doesn't have enough of it. I miss it. I look for these movies all the time, and I don't find them.
One of the things I like about that scene where he's attacking the guys who are dressed up as the statues is even though he's cut a limb off, they're still, like, if he's cut a guy's leg off, they're still crawling towards him, trying to kick him, trying to
fight.
One
of them bites him, doesn't he?
Yeah, and it's just the look on his face, like Nathan said out loud, what is it, disrespect?
You dare bite me?
It's just, yeah, it was really, I thought it was a really good touch because most of the people he cuts up in this, like, they take one shot, like one slice and they're down, like, and that's it. And this is what annoys me about this is all, I would rather have less people put up more of a fight than 100 people just get sliced to bits because the training
I agree. I prefer the ninja statue fight to the end sequence. Like, I like that stuff a lot more. It's more interesting to me because they have time and they put the effort in and it's interesting. And, like, you can see that the shots are thought of and where the blood splatter is going to happen. When you just got 100 guys, it just goes, and maybe one of them gets an arm cut off or maybe there's a little bit of arterial spray. I want every guy to be thought of and have some expression in his face as he sees the knife coming in.
See, I like there's a scene where he's in a quarry and there's, like, all these, it's like it's in quarry, but open air, but it's hallways. Like, it's almost
river is...
I
was saying when we were watching this movie, I was like, in Japan, there must be like a quarry every 5 minutes or something because all of these movies have a quarry and they're all fighting in the quarry.
But these are like, it's like narrow hallways. So I can understand like him coming around and behind these people.
He's doing a predator. He's doing a Dutch and predator.
It's a maze.
So he's killing, like, I can understand that. That I agree with because it's all confined. It's like 300 when they block them into that.
Yeah.
Like, they can't get through this hallway, so they just kick the shit out of them. So in this one, I understand that bit. That I agreed with. But when it's open and you have like 50 people coming towards you.
One of them, especially since they don't obviously value human life, at some point, maybe save 5 guys with guns to wait until he's killing a bunch of people and then shoot everybody. just kill them all. Again, magic. He's walking the demon's path. It's magic.
Counter argument here. Everybody that dies is hamming it up. Like, they go, and they flip out a screen. That's fucking hilarious.
Yes, it is.
Everybody who dies doesn't just fall down. They go, whoa, and they flip and they cartwheel. It's glorious.
I love these old fucking films for this shit. Like, I love them. I will watch them all the time. I was looking for an excuse to watch these movies. I was thinking about watching one of, like, just watching.
Like the podcast?
Not for the podcast. Just I wanted to watch them. And then I happened to be able to come to this one. And I was like, I'm going to try and
get. We got to watch that the last one, the snow one.
Oh, we are.
Because this is, what, 4 of 6, I believe?
Yeah, 4 of 6, I think.
I wasn't so, like, taken with... I did like the smaller battles with the limbs going everywhere. The bigger ones, the slashes were obviously missing and all of that. And he would do the cut. And sometimes the sound would be out in between, you know, when they put the work on it going slash... Oh, wait, that slash happened like 5 seconds before your sound works and shit. So it was kind of those little things I want to call sloppy.
Yeah.
Very 70s, though.
It's 70s. And you got to remember, I think they made 5 of these 6 films in the same year. Mm. Like, they're cranking them out.
I reckon this film would have done a lot better if they had to change the beginning. I reckon this would have been...
What, you don't want it to open on titties? Well, I think you're wrong.
I would never want not to do that, but this would make more sense to me if he came into town, right, did the kid thing, and then they swapped to the girl doing that, and then the tattoo was telling the story, showing the girl killing people, and then moving on with the story through that. It would be a lot more organic because it just seems like the beginning of it is this girl, and then it goes to him... And then it's almost like they forgot about the girl at one stage.
I would actually say the problem with the pacing of the film, and it's only 80 minutes, so the pacing isn't really a problem, is the 7 to 10 minutes they spend with the kid trying to find his dad and figuring that out. I understand why it's important for the series. We've got to kind of build that he is an independent child and he can take care of himself.
They could have cut that whole bit out, though.
But they could have cut that bit out. Like, it would have been made this movie a bit better. I think that's the bit that slows it down. I think if you have that, you open with that in media res, hard action with the woman, then you go to him learning that he has to kill that woman, I think that works fine. And then you move on to that, and then you move on to him trying to find her. But that whole bit with that kid in that section is just a waste of time. A
couple of things that you guys are talking about there, okay. The opening with the Oyuki there, they're trying to put some foreshadowing here. Like, this is a badass lady. And then, like we said, they sort of leave her out of the story for a while. And when the kid is separated from the dad, they sort of cut to these guys wearing the headgear.
Yeah. And they got they've come up before in other movies too. Sure. They've attacked him before.
And sort of they got the weird instruments. And that's kind of, these guys are not to be trifled with. And then they're kind of trying to set them up as these evil people. And it doesn't really work as well as it should because he just sort of covers his ears and then runs off.
Yeah.
Could have done that a bit better.
Yeah. I agree. It's not the greatest.
Now, you've mentioned while watching this, you were impressed with the cinematography. You want to speak on that a bit?
Okay, so there's a lot of still shots where they've got something in the foregrounds and it's still really focused in the background. I'm not saying that it's amazing, but what I am saying for a pulpy 1972 pulpy, not that expensive to make, a lot of the shots are very well thought of. The shots in when he's fighting the monks in that temple, a lot of the internal inside shots are well framed and well paced, and also there's a couple of tracking shots where people are moving outside where they must have had it on a because it's before Steadicam, so they must have had it on whole tracks and stuff. They must have had tracks laid so the camera would be stable while they were like doing like tracking shots as people were moving and walking. All of that stuff was really impressive. For the time, for 72 and probably the budget of this film, it's pretty impressive.
There's also certain shots. There's still shots where they're probably exposition dumps, would you call them? But they'll have two people talking, but at the very foreground will be a burnt candle or
a dead body.
An object that's just sitting there. And it's like on the left or right-hand side, right at the front, and then you have the two people in the background talking. And there is a lot of that.
Yeah.
It's quite effective when you look at it.
Yeah, it's like coming from what we watch in like we watch a lot of 80s and 90s Hong Kong action cinema, and there is a difference. There's a significant difference in the scope and detail of the shots, and I appreciate it a lot of time. To be fair, this movie also has a fair amount of shore scope kind of shit going on where you go, "Oh, that hurts." But for the most part, like I don't remember seeing a real good tracking shot in many Hong Kong films from the 70s.
There's one shot, I think it's when the tattooist is telling him the story and sort of it has his face superimposed over the other shot of him tattooing her and it's like the ghost head floating above.
It's real good.
It's nothing new, but it's kind of
impressive. Then there's that, and during that period, there's a lot of little interesting things where like it shows her body and her face and his face and the tattoo. It's really good. It's evocative and it uses the image to say more than the words are saying. And I feel like sometimes we don't get a lot of that.
There's a lot of
I wonder if it's from the manga actually. I wonder if there's actually panels.
You think
that
they're trying
like
to
that.
Like tribute those shots?
Yeah, I've never read the manga.
I'm not very good at Japanese, but from what I can gather, a lot of the expressions are very old timey expressions there, which is kind of cool. And the music is great.
Yeah, the music's fantastic.
How's the music, Christian?
Not as good as
funky.
Yeah.
Which is weird because sometimes it's funky and then there's no music for one battle, and one battle has.
It actually does suit it. That's what I'll give it credit for. It's funky, and you wouldn't think English this time. You wouldn't think it would suit a samurai, but it does suit the scenes.
They almost like save the music for like when he's doing something better or more explosive than he has before. Like sometimes he just goes in and kills a whole bunch of people, and they're like, "Meh."
Yeah, that scene where everybody's
you walking around. We don't need music for that. But then it's like. Uh-oh.
He's drawn his sword.
There's like, he's drawn
guitar
his sword
sting.
And there's like 50 people around him. Dun-dun-dun. And I'm going to go into it.
It's sometimes jazz fusion. It's sometimes just pure jazz. And sometimes it's pure funk.
Bit proggy.
Yeah,
like
and
the
proggy.
The whole scene where in the temple where the guys are dressed as statues.
Yeah. No music. But when he opens his doors, fucking bass line hits.
There's a scene where he says something about when you meet Buddha, you have to kill him.
Yeah.
And I've heard that. In these movies, and a little tidbit here. The first time I heard that was the Usagi Yojimbo game for Commodore 64. A guy goes, "If you meet Buddha on the road, you have to kill him." And it's like, oh, and that stuck with me all these years. Like, apparently that's a common saying for that era.
Yeah. Fucking gangster.
And he does, because he chops him in the head, and the guy goes cross-legged and goes, whoa, and falls backwards.
So much violence, so much gore. Like, basic. Like, I'm not saying that it's like, oh, there's entrails and shit, but like, arms come off, legs come off, and it's funny, and it's... impactful in a way that I feel is really good. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know what else more else to say about this movie. It's great. Go watch it.
Do this at home. What would you like to do in your own time from this movie?
Tattoo breasts.
Without a hesitation.
Oh, look.
Shooter wants soap and shit.
Also, when she's getting a tattoo, they sort of mentioned that she didn't grimace or moan or nothing. So, like, she's really tough.
She's hardcore.
Yeah.
Because there is a third girl that's getting a tattoo at the beginning of this when they're doing the exposition dump. And because he's talking to Lone Wolf about it. And she's like, she's got a cloth in her mouth and she's, and then they go to.
And that's only a bat.
Yeah. And then they go to Oreo girl, and she's the one who gets there, and she didn't grimace or moan or anything like that.
She's so tough.
She's tough,
yeah. So I think that's but there's not, I mean, I would love to take a sword and a whole bunch of stuff and slash the hell out of ninjas, but there's not really a lot.
Call for that in the 21st century, 22nd. Yeah, oh,
What's that old joke?
One time when we go to Japan, Christian, this shit will happen to us for realsies.
You got the most tattoos out of all of us here. Which is the most painful one you got?
That one.
For the listeners, he has one on his bicep.
It's a pretty flower.
It's a tiger.
It's a flower.
It's a flower.
It's a fucking tiger.
It's a flower right there. I'm looking right at it.
It looks like a butterfly with a tiger sort of shape on the wings.
It's pretty tough. Did it hurt?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not judging Christian's
tattoos. I cried.
Did you grimace a bit?
I'm fixing that. Hey, did I grimace a bit? Yeah. And then this pretty lady walked in, and I was like, "Yeah, it ain't no shit." But I was crying on the inside.
And she walked out. And you're like, "Oh,
I was my like, please, mommy. Dude, I'm gonna faint. Pass it."
Nathan, what would you like to do?
In this movie, what would I like to do? I would like to have someone commit Harry Carey on my behalf, and then give a soliloquy about.
How honourable your death is?
Yeah, it's how great and terrible you fucked up is, sir. This guy died on your behalf, and you fucked up because you pointed the sword at the Shogun.
Oops.
Yeah, I'd like to nominate somebody to take my own death. That'd be sweet. Mike, what are you doing Saturday?
You're
not covering for you, my friend.
Can I just go back one sec, though? There's a scene where he's at the hot spring, and his target is there, Oyuki is there. And they kind of have a conversation about what's happened to her and why she's doing her things. And he goes, because the person who's hired her isn't like the king, like isn't like the lord of Owari or where she was staying, although she is a deserter. It's one of the people who's, because she's been cutting the top knots off people, right? So it's one of the family members of one of the people she's killed to try and get her rapist to come and fight her. And he tells her, like, every time you do that, that whole family has to kill themselves.
That's the ultimate disrespect.
Like, yeah. Like, every time you do that, you're fucking up more people. You're just creating more and more revenge, right? So, like, I gotta kill you. Like, you're gonna have to die. Like, because it's not just you. It's like, I'm not doing it for the Lord of Owari or whatever. I'm doing it for these people who are like, you're fucking over. And I like that. I thought that was nice.
There's also a scene where... She's sitting in the hot spring and she has a flashback of what happened to her. And then she comes back to reality and...
He's in the middle of his own PTSD.
They're both... The Lone Wolf and Cub are sitting in the spa, spring hot water, sorry. And the kid just walks over to her and pulls the top down. And he goes, no, get back over here. And he's like, sorry, he had no mother. He doesn't know what he's doing, you know. And I thought I was just like, are you serious? Is this going to happen? Does this happen in every movie?
I think in one of the other movies, and I might be wrong, but one of the other movies... Someone breastfeeds the kid, like in one or two when he's a bit younger. One of the women they come in contact with breastfeeds him when he's gonna die, but I can't be sure. So maybe the only interaction he has with women is titties.
That wasn't part of the movie. That was unscripted. Also, the fight they have, Oyuki and him, like one slash dead.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
not this big build up. Can you stop playing with that? It's fucking bringing noise through there.
It's one of those things, though, isn't it? Where they like. They build it up like, yeah, she's really strong and she's like the best with short shorts.
He's walking the demon path.
But, nah, that's not good enough for...
So, do you have anything you want to do at home, Michael?
Well, why not? Let's all have a cart with like magical weapons in it. Guns and...
Well, you don't?
Extendables. Well, you don't. I do.
Skis.
Mate, I've got skis. A storage unit. You don't know what I've got.
Everything.
I'm pretty sure he's got a hang glider in there.
Let's just go off the cliff. Go.
An ultralight if necessary.
It is literally like James Bond Aston Martin in a wooden cart variety.
See?
Yeah.
Samurai James Bond.
Yeah.
It needs to be an ejector seat, though.
As for me...
Not suave, just weapons. Nothing suave in there, just military hardware.
The samurai trope of having like a one-on-one battle in like a field of wheat, whatever it is, it's so cool.
It's very cool.
It's very picturesque when they try and set that stuff up. That's why we were, as we were saying, we're like looking at some of the fight scenes in the final one in the snow as well. That's a very picturesque sort of scene as well with the blood spray on the white.
I got to admit, it was a very peaceful looking quarry.
Yeah. And there weren't too many stunts in this movie. Some people were flipping off ledges and
lots
stuff.
Lots of flips.
So what do you think would have hurt the most?
Get my arm cut off? Actually, strapping my leg up for the scene where I have to be shot, where I've got no leg left, and my leg has to be strapped up in such a way that you can't see it.
Get a dead
That's
got
to be fucking painful after a while.
Like every single flip scene, like with him flipping off something, was all done from like the top half. Like he would roll around, but you'd never see him actually land.
No, he's not landing.
Like, he's not landing. So they've got like the crash cart and stuff like.
There's the angle. He just jumped off the curb or something. Yep.
I do want to point out as well, when he does the one-on-one fight scene, so it might be true that other guy is better than him in like a straight one-on-one fight sequence, but our bro, he doesn't have any problem just like throwing a dagger or like grabbing up
cheating.
A pole arm. Yeah, it's not cheating. if there's no rules, there's no rules in a duel.
Dishonorable.
He's Who cheating. Gives a fuck?
Well, technically the girl did it to her rapist guy, like when she, because he's got the flaming sword, look into my eyes, and then she whips the top down and he's like, huh? And then she throws a dagger right between his eyes and then runs at him with the short, what's the short sword called?
Wakizashi.
With the wasabi peanut, and it just cuts
That's
him right
That's the size
off.
Of your pee-pee.
That's huge.
You have to understand.
Don't give me that much credit.
She takes her top off and he goes, awooga, and his eyes bug out. And it's like,
I do like the fact that his ability is that he's a good fighter. It's that he's like a bit of a hypnotist. He's like, he's got a gimmick, which is the flaming sword. And then he says to the people, don't look at the sword. Look into my eyes. Don't look at the sword. Look into my eyes. And she's like, ooh, I'll look into your eyes. And that's how he rapes her the first time. But this time he's like, you know what? I bet you he's a fucking perv. So my secret weapon is I'm just going to get a tattoo around my titty. And then I'm going to show him my titties, and he's going to go awooga. And she's right. She's 100% right.
Just to like
menopause.
Divert for a second. Did she need the tattoo? Could she not have just dropped her top and had the same impact on him?
Maybe, but I
don't
like
know
the
why she needed
the tattoo.
I don't know why she needed the back tattoo.
True.
Like she just come into the set of the guy, like do whatever, and he's like, okay.
Because
well.
A back tattoo's gangster.
I think those tattoos look pretty good.
They were really good.
Almost
I'd get
real.
One of those.
Almost real.
Yeah.
Like for that era. Like I've seen fake tattoos look really bad.
No,
you
they look
how
good.
How long that would take with like the hand.
Oh, yeah, they stuff. Do spend a bit of time when he's doing the memory bit, the flashback with the tattooist. You see him doing the double ink. Oh, it looks super painful. But at the same time, like if I'm not going to get a tattoo, I'm doing it that way.
How long was your longest tattoo? Like how long did it take?
3 hours.
Which one was that?
That was that one. I had to sit like that for.
That's on the back of your forearm there.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's not, yeah. So
thumbs up, thumbs down, or thumbs, hang on. What stunt would have hurt the most, sorry?
Well,
probably one of them flips.
One guy did do a flip off I think it was in the quarry where he did a tip off the, he had the high ground, and then he gets, the guy throws us like a pole with a blade up into him and he flips over. So that's probably, from what I could see, the most painful. That's about the highest stunt.
There might have
does.
Been some guy who fell off a ledge or something, but apart from that, that's probably it.
I did also appreciate the fact that they did let him get hit and wounded and stuff, although they go overboard like to the fact like other people have died for less kind of wounds. But
walking the demon path.
Exactly.
I think you're ignoring the fact that the kid was in that cart getting pushed through the quarry and that would have been rough as fuck.
Oh, yeah, there's no suspension on
probably
that.
Probably would have hurt.
Imagine trying to.
I got spinal injuries.
Heavy cart with like guns and shit.
Those wheels look like they're ready to come off at any moment.
Exactly. I think the stunt that probably hurt the most is when two of the guys with spears try and stab him, and he grabs him, and then they pull him up because he's got to be goddamn heavy.
He's a big boy. Thumbs up, thumbs down, and thumbs in the middle. Nathan's got two thumbs up. Christian.
Look. Yeah, I'll give it. I'm going to give it one thumb up because it's not. Like, it was okay, but if I hadn't seen the first one, I'd probably be in the middle. So I'll give it one thumbs up.
Michael?
I'll give it a thumbs up.
I think a thumbs in the middle leaning up. I like this movie, but it was a bit, I liked it, but I'm not in a hurry to watch it again. Anybody want to watch it again?
I kind of want... I'm still in the mood to watch the whole series
I
want
to watch that snow one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there are so... if you just... The movie's 85, 86 minutes. Not even 90 minutes, right? If you take out the good scenes out of this movie, you've already... There's like 40 minutes of good movie. You add it to the others, you've got yourself like 4.5 hours of a great time.
Are you saying you want to make a supercut of all the movies?
That would be cool. Like a supercut of just action scenes.
And tits.
Now, does
the exploitation? All
does the lone wolf get his top off? And
that'll be Chris's.
I'm pretty
cut.
Sure he might do at one point.
Well, he had his top off in the freaking hot spring, man.
That's right.
Oh shit, you're right.
Banger.
Oh yeah. So that's the Asian action cast. Anything else you guys want to talk about this movie or in general?
I don't know where we go from here. I think we might have reached the epicenter, like reached the apex of our climb.
No, we've got plenty to go. And
oh yeah, I've got Tokyo Ghoul, please. Take that back.
Have you got any correspondence?
No correspondence.
Sam is the one who looks at that shit. We don't look at that shit.
Okay, well, Sam, if you're listening to this, I want you to pass a message on to the people on the message boards that listen to this, and that y'all ain't fuck all, and I'm coming to the message board soon. Get ready. You're going to get roasted.
We don't have a message board. We have Instagram.
Sam, set up a message board if you listen to this.
A message board? What are you, old internet man?
Let's get a BSB. Let's get a Usenet.
A bulletin board.
Let's get a Usenet going.
IRC. If you'd like to get in touch with us, we're on Facebook.
Don't.
ignore Nathan. He's had several drinks and some pizza. He's had a good night. He's you know, that there's that meme where the wife's talking to the crying man. He's like, "Were you watching samurai movies again?" He's like, "Yes." Did he die an honorable death? Yes. He's crying.
That is me.
That's although, Nathan most nights.
Although the lone wolf did not die an honorable death, he fucking won.
He murdered an honorable.
He should have died 2 movies ago.
And could be in a Terminator.
Hey?
Being a Terminator.
I would love to see him be resurrected by some Japanese ghost magic. And then this movie would have been better because he would have tutored the topless girl and then she could have continued her topless rampage.
Tutored.
Tutored.
All right. If you want to get in touch with us, we're on Facebook and Instagram, or you can email us, asianactioncast@gmail.com. If you want to talk about something to us or suggest a movie or whatever.
I know we don't get anyone who actually gives a fuck. I know actually Sam does interact with people, so I do know we do get some interaction. But come on, someone bring me something of equal or greater samurai exploitation value than this. And I don't want to hear no bounty hunters. I don't want to hear no, what are they called? Shadow hunters. I don't want to hear...
Shadow hunters are pretty good.
Yeah, Shadow hunters are pretty good. So is bounty hunter. But I want something fresh and interesting that I haven't seen before.
A hidden gem, you might say.
No blind bat lady. No lady snowblood. I've seen all that shit. I want something new. And I'm sad that I keep digging and I keep digging and I get nothing.
Nathan wants new old samurai.
That's right. New old...
Before we go, I'd just like to say, like, yeah, if you... We don't have...
We've all had a lot of drinks.
We don't have advertisements here. We don't have... GoFundMe or any Patreon, which is fine if other podcasts do, but we just do it because it's fun to do and a chance to catch up. So if you want to support the Asian Action Cast and what we do,
leave us a review.
Leave us a review.
Not a bad one.
Yeah, three
Pass
stars
on
minimum.
A suggestion for a movie to watch.
Yes.
Leave us a one star, but give us a good movie to watch and I'm happy.
If you're going
to
make a one star, make it funny.
Yeah, and give us a review. Give us a movie I want to watch.
And we'll see you next time. Bye.
I'm pretty sure he's got a hand glider in there.